Welcome back to our Dallas County Let's Talk program, which is always brought to you by Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable. My name is Shaquan Eddingham, and today being joined by the community health educator, Natalie Peters, at the Dallas County Health Department. Natalie, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. And so we have a good amount of topics to cover, so we'll get started with hydration. And can you just start us off by talking about the importance of drinking plenty of water?
Yes. So drinking enough water is critical for your whole body to function. Every cell and organ in your body needs water to do its job. And so some of the ways that water helps you are by transporting nutrients and oxygen, regulating your body temperature, which is why it's something that you hear a lot about in the summer when it's really hot, eliminating waste in the body through your circulatory system and also your digestive system. So it does aid in digestion. Something else is that it cushions your joints and can help with pain from arthritis and things like that. So that's really important. And then also just keeps your skin looking healthy. Yeah, so those are just some of the ways that it's has an important role in your body.
Awesome. And how much water should we be drinking every day? And how do we know if we are drinking enough?
So the answer to that is that water intake is not one size fits all. The American Dietary Guidelines recommend about 15 cups of water per day for men and 11 cups of water per day for women. So that's more than that 8 cups per day rule that you might have heard before. But you might need to drink more than that if it's really hot out, like I was saying, or if you, you know, have been exercising intensely. Those are times when you want to especially make sure that you're staying hydrated. And then how much water you drink should also really depend on what makes you feel the best. So if you notice signs of dehydration, like thirst or dry mouth or headaches and tiredness, especially like in the afternoon, is pretty common. Those are signs that would indicate that your body needs more water than you are currently giving it.
And so what are some reminders or tips that you can share to make sure that people are drinking enough water?
Yeah, so if you struggle to drink enough water, you're definitely not alone. That's something I think a lot of people try to focus on. So one thing you can do is try to bring a water bottle with you when you leave home so that you always have some with you. And then I know some reusable water bottles have lines for every hour, which can help you to stay on track throughout the day, or you can just kind of make your own using tape or markers or something like that. You can also track your water intake using like fitness apps or just like a little notepad in your pocket checking off every time you drink a glass of water, so you have a better idea of how much you're currently drinking and then how much you maybe want to be drinking. And then if you want to add more taste to your water, because I know that's something a lot of people complain about with water, is it just, you know, there's not a lot of flavor there. You can try flavoring your water with fresh fruit or sugar-free flavor packets or things like that.
Again, we are speaking with the community health educator, Natalie Peters, at the Dallas County Health Department. And Natalie, now we'll switch to back to school mental health, because school is starting up here pretty soon. And can you start off with discussing some of the common worries that maybe parents and students have?
Yeah, so starting a new school year is a common source of worries for both students and parents, because there are a lot of changes that come with that transition of a new school year. So students might be nervous about their new teachers, if they'll have friends in their class, if they'll fit in socially. They might also worry about staying safe in school or about their schoolwork will be challenging this year. And then parents really worry about the same things because they just want their kids to be successful and happy and safe in their school environment as well. So it's definitely normal to feel some jitters around this time of year.
And do you have any advice that you can share on how to ease anxiety?
There's several things you can do to ease that back to school anxiety specifically. So one of them is practicing your school year routine before the first day of school starts. So things like bedtimes and wake times and setting out your clothes, or maybe packing your lunch the night before, things that are going to be a common part of routine. It's better to set those before that night before school, when it's maybe the anxiety is kind of peaking. Also, if you know your kids are younger, arranging play dates with their friends who go to the same school is good, so they can kind of feel more socially adjusted so they do walk into the school building. It's also really important to validate their feelings, have an open conversation about what worries them, so they do feel supported. You might make a plan with your child for how you'll connect with each other if there's some sort of emergency at school, just so you know ahead of time. And then coming up with like a prize or an activity or something like that that they'll get to do after school starts so that they have something to look forward to would also be a good idea. And then if your child's displaying signs of more serious anxiety, like more than just those slight jitters, like that maybe you're doing tantrums or chronic complaints of stomach aches and headaches, or like withdrawing from like social activities, then that would be a good idea to consult with a doctor or a mental health specialist at that time.
And how important is it to have support from family and friends to talk about certain things going on?
Yeah, that social support and those open discussions about back to school or other worries, they're super important for managing the stress and anxiety around this time of year and any time really. So if you have a child or a teen that'll be starting school soon, be sure to let them know that they can always talk to you about concerns. And then for those who don't feel like they have family or friends that they can talk to about those kind of things, there are still other resources like school counselors or private family counselors who are great to talk to, and they can connect you with more mental health resources if you're interested in those.
Again, speaking here with the community health educator Natalie Peters at the Dallas County Health Department. Now, Natalie, this is a big thing. Lots of people probably struggle with this, is sleeping. Let's start off with, what are the benefits to receiving enough sleep?
Yeah, so kind of like water, sleep is one of those essential ingredients for your health. And so getting sleep is so important for your brain function, your heart health, mental health, your immune system, and ability to fight off any infections or sickness that maybe are common actually with the start of the school year too. And then just, you know, boosting your overall mood. Like, you're probably not going to be in the best mood if you haven't had a good night's sleep. So it's just really, really important for your health.
And what is the suggested length of sleep for both children and adults?
So as we get older, our bodies need less sleep to function, but it's still important to get a good night's rest. So adults 18 years and older should aim to get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep every night. All the way down to newborns, they need about 14 to 17 hours of sleep every day. So that's quite a bit, but that gradually decreases until adulthood. So teenagers should be getting between 8 and 10 hours of sleep. Yeah, it'll kind of vary by age, but definitely aiming for 8 hours will probably be enough for most people.
Awesome. Again, can you share tips that will lead to getting to better sleep? Maybe putting the phone down.
Yeah, for sure. So preparing for a good night's sleep starts during the day. So something to think about is limiting like daytime naps, afternoon caffeine, or under eating or overeating close to bedtime. That can kind of affect your ability to fall asleep at night. Sticking to a sleep schedule is also super important. So that would mean going to bed and getting up at the same time every day, even on weekends, which might be hard, but overall it'll be really beneficial to you if you can do that. Something else is that if you don't fall asleep within 20 minutes of getting in bed, it's better to not just lay there and wait, because that probably won't do anything. So you should leave your bedroom, go do something relaxing elsewhere, like reading or listening to music, until you feel tired again, and then try again. You should also try to create a calming environment in your bedroom. So that would be like keeping the room cool, dark and quiet. Like you're saying, put the phone down, avoid looking at TVs, computers, phones, like those kind of screens right before bed, because the light that comes from those devices can make falling asleep more difficult. And then if you continue to have frequent sleep issues after making these changes, or if you notice that you're still tired during the day, even after a restful night, you should be sure to talk to your primary care provider, because that could potentially indicate another health issue.
Again, we have been speaking here with Natalie Peters. She is the community health educator at the Dallas County Health Department. Natalie, thank you so much for running us through all that information. It was quite a handful, but yeah, you handled it well, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. That's part of our Dallas County Let's Talk program, which is always brought to you by Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.